everybody else. Brother Jerry, how about praying for us?
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever.
Yes.
Lord, you're so good to us.
Yes.
Lord, you're showing us mercy again this morning and kindness and compassion. Lord, just we praise you, Lord, for every breeze, the sun come up,
yes,
the rain that falls.
Yes. Yeah.
Lord, the plants that grow. Lord, that you created everything just perfectly. You orchestrated it. You created it perfectly, Lord, that my lungs just absorb oxygen just exactly the right percentage this morning.
Yes.
Lord, that you created the body, Lord, perfectly, the atmosphere. Lord, you are a perfect creator this morning. Everything about you is perfect. Your word is perfect. We praise you this morning that there's nothing wrong with you, Father. Lord, that there's so many shortfalls, Lord, that I have. But then all we know is there's nothing absolutely wrong with you this morning, Father. We praise you that we can put our faith fully and trust you this morning. We pray for Brother Rick and all the teachers, Lord, that are just opening your perfect word this morning. As they open it, we pray, dear God, that we take it and apply it and have full faith in it, God, to know that it is without error.
Yes.
It can be trusted in every way, Lord, in our lives. We just pray that we would just take that this morning and apply that faith to our hearts and lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these charts here. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free. Free of charge. It'll be in January on a Friday night. For a few weeks now, we've been in the book of Genesis. And we looked at the creation of all things, the corruption of all things, condemnation of all things, and the confusion of all things in the first 11 chapters. And we relearned that the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are true.
Yes, amen.
Every word of them. Then we started chapter 12, and we're learning that they're true too. And we looked at Abraham, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, our hero. And we've been saying that there could be two books, first and second book of Genesis, and today I'm going to say there could be the third book. We could start right here when we start with Joseph. That might be the third division in the book of Genesis. But there's really, in reality and truthfully, there's only one book of Genesis. That's just a way to remember it. From 37 to the end is about Joseph. And last week, in Genesis chapter 36, we saw it started off. Now, these are the generations of Esau. And Esau, generations are what we put our hope in. It was his descendants. It's like me putting my hope in my children and in my grandchildren, that they will pass me, and they have succeeded at that, and that's what we wanted. They fell into our trap, and they're doing better than we are. And we used a preacher, for example, on that, how Marcus improved, and then Levi even better than that. And that's our hope. But Esau, he had 47 people that he hoped in. And to me, these are all pictures of religion, things we hope in. It's on your handout there, traditions, rituals, rules. Religion's boring. Baptism, education, philosophy, good works, faithful attendance are some things we hope in, just like this is who Esau hoped in. And all religions are the same. They have two lists. They have a list of do's and a list of don'ts.
Right.
But that's not what we're about.
Right.
Then last week we started on chapter 37. And let's start again in verse 2 like we did last week. It says, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph.
Yeah.
That's what we're about. That's what we're about. There's many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, just over and over and over again. But personally, I think Brother Joseph is our favorite, our best. I think before we're done, we're going to see like 99 ways that Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, is like or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me repeat here, Jacob put all of his hope in Joseph.
Right.
I put November 16th, 1974, I put all of my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not dependent on anything I've done. I'm not dependent on what the Baptists have done. I'm not counting on what the baptistry did. I'm counting on Jesus. These are the generations of Rick, Jesus.
Yeah.
All my hopes in the Lord Jesus. You could say these are the generations of Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, this is how it says it, and this is what we'll use. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph.
Right.
Now it goes ahead down through there and describes Joseph. I know there's a period in there, not trying to change nothing, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't. It never says anything else that Jacob hoped in. All of his hope was in Joseph. Joseph was worth more than all the other children of Jacob added together.
Right.
Joseph was worth more. Genesis, the third book of Genesis, Genesis 37 to the end, has three main purposes. It's going to show us, when we get to Exodus, we'll understand why the children are in Egypt. Without these chapters, we wouldn't know that, without the third book of Genesis. And then another thing here, Joseph's life is nearly impeccable. Almost sinless. He wasn't sinless, he's a sinner. He's a sinner, but it's hard to find where it is. Perhaps the best type of Christ available. The true story of the Old Testament Joseph is a marvelous exaltation of Jesus. It holds Jesus up high. And Brother Darrell Sivvy told me, he said, I love that Old Testament Joseph. There's more chapters about Joseph than any other patriarch. We've looked at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph gets more Bible than anyone else. Not only patriarchs, than anyone else in the Old Testament. Not more than Jesus. No one is more like Christ. And we'll start right now looking at that. Joseph's life was divided into two periods. The first period, the first coming, Lord Jesus came once. And for Joseph, it's chapters 37, and I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, chapter 38 is homework. We won't be looking at that next week. And then chapter 39 and chapter 40 describe Joseph's first coming. That's the first coming. He was rejected and he suffered, just like the Lord Jesus was rejected and suffered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those would be comparable. And then Joseph's second coming is when he's promoted and exalted in glory. It would be chapters 41 to 50. It would compare with Revelation over in the New Testament. And he gets a new name, Zaphnath-Phanethia, if I say that even close to right. The revealer of secrets. Joseph was a revealer of secrets.
Yeah.
Let's see if the Lord ever did that. Luke 2.
Good.
Luke 2 is our Christmas story. Sister Kim can quote the first 20 verses, the Christmas story. But then we see Simeon here in Luke 2:35. Simeon's been talking about the Lord, about Mary. He held the baby. He said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So here's another picture of how. See, we're going to be studying about Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus.
Right.
I heard Oliver B. say this morning, the Lord doesn't deal with heads, He deals with hearts. When we believe on Jesus in our heart, and it says right there that Jesus is a revealer of the heart. See, He knows why I came this morning. He knows about that 28-year pen. See, I might have come just so you'd see my new tie. You don't know why I'm here. You don't know what motivates me. You just know I'm here. And I get the Sunday school pen. Jesus, the Savior of the world. We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. In chapter 37, let's start it over again here. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. Hallelujah. Being 17 years old. He already had character when he was 17 years old. You may know someone like that. I don't know. He was feeding the flock. He was working, Jared. He's out there working, milking cows, milking the goats with his brother. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. Yes. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now that sounds bad right up front, like a tattletale, but there's a reason. We'll get to them here in a minute. But already he's got a lot of character. And you know, I can do right. I can do better. I can tighten up.
Yes, I can too.
Yeah. I can watch Joseph and learn. Jacob's favorite wife bore his favorite son. Joseph was worth more than all his brothers put together. Man emphasizes quantity and counts. Well, Jacob had 12, man. That's pretty good. But God emphasizes quality. Quality. Rachel and Joseph were placed at the rear of the camp for maximum protection. We just saw that in the last chapter, last week or two. Joseph discovered early on with the death of his mother that godliness does not exempt us from sorrows. Sometimes someone will testify and say, well, Bob, praise God, he's been good to me. Got a brand new car, new job, new house. I'm just sitting there thinking, man, what am I doing wrong? Well, you might not be doing anything wrong. You might not be. The purity of Joseph, he was pure. His purity came from God. I can't do that. Nobody else can. And he ends up with some sufferings from his enemies after his mama dies. That's just starting into it. And his tongue was pure when he gave his father a true report. But again, he's not a tattletale. It's seldom popular to tell the truth, but it's always right. One reason he's not a tattletale is on who he reports to. Now, see, if I go around telling y'all everything, I'd be a tattletale or a gossiper. But if Brother Bob needs to know it, and I just tell Brother Bob, that's different. That's different. Let's look at it in John 10. I am Old Testament name for Jehovah. I am the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf scattereth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And he'll tell the truth on us. He'll tell the truth. Number one, Joseph wasn't a tattletale because of who he reported to. Number two is what he said. He said the truth. He told the truth. And number three is why. See, Jacob had either asked him for a report on the brothers or he ordered him to tell it. See, the brother's safety was in the balance. Jacob needed to know. Not just was the fox all right, but was the brothers all right. So he's getting ready to send Joseph to check on him. Verse 3 and 4. The privileges of Joseph. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Sometimes you'll find this in families. Reuben was the firstborn, and by rights should have been a Levite. This coat of many colors was a longer coat for a ruler or overseer, or a lot of times I'll kid around, I'll say you're in charge, you know, for someone that's in charge. There was a shorter tunic for the worker, for the common man, and Reuben should have been in charge, but he forfeited that. When we just read about it again last week or the week before, let's look at it again in 1 Chronicles 5. Verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. But for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. So Joseph gets the coat of many colors, the long sleeve, goes down to the ankle, showed an overseer or a master. And it was a privileged position, and showed he was preeminent and out front. Just, I think I've read a verse about the Lord Jesus being preeminent in everything. Jacob knew that favorites caused family problems, and he shouldn't have done that, really. But he did it, and it fits in the story. Let's notice in verse 2, getting a little bit ahead of myself, but in verse 2, the brothers hated him because of his devotion. In verse 3, they hated him because of his dress. Then in verse 4, they hated him because of his dreams. Let's start in verse 5 and see. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brother, and they hated him yet the more. A dream, if you remember, they didn't have a King James Bible. And God spoke to them different ways. And this is a revelation from God. It's what it is, this dream is. And God gave it to Joseph to give to the family. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheave rose." It'd be similar like a skinny bale of hay arose and also stood upright. "Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave. And bow down to the earth like this," like I've seen it happen on cartoons, or maybe you've seen it somewhere. "And behold, your sheave made obeisance to my sheave." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" They knew what it meant. The brothers understood it, and the dad understood it. See, it's not the part that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the parts I do understand that I have trouble with, that keep me in straits. And the brother said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? And shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. The word gets it. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brother and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" See, they knew what it meant.
Yeah.
They knew what it meant. Everybody knew what it meant. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe it was possible. And his brother envied him. But his father observed the sayings. Did it ever happen any other time? Let's see Mark 15:10. "And he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy." We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. these two dreams that came from God. And they're showing us that Joseph is superior. Let's look at it in John 1:11. He came into his own and his own received him not. John 17:14. I've given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, they hated the Lord first before they hated you, and they hate His book, His word. It's what Jesus said, chapter 17. The purity brought privileges from the Father, but they brought persecution from the world. The brothers understood the dream. Jacob understood them, but they dismissed them and paid no attention. And it's because of that sin that thus so easily beset us. Unbelief. Let's go back to Genesis now. 37. Verse 12. And his brethren went to feed the father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? If you back up a couple of chapters, remember that place got a bad history.
Yeah.
It's a bad place. Come and I'll send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brother, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. It's a vale of safety. He's going to leave the air conditioner. He's going to leave Andy Griffith. He's going to go to where it's not so safe. That's where he's going to go. And he came to Shechem. The Father sent him out. The Lord Jesus Christ had it made in heaven. And when He left to come check on us, He bankrupted heaven.
Right.
There wasn't nothing left.
Right.
I know it's bad English. There wasn't anything left. When the Lord Jesus left heaven at first Christmas Day to come here, heaven got emptied out.
Yeah.
There was nothing left. The darling Son of God came. The brothers here, they hated him three times. Verse 4, they hated him. Verse 5, they hated him yet the more. Verse 8, they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. They hated him for his vesture, for his vision, and for his voice.
Yeah.
For his words. They were jealous of his devotion, his dress, his dreams. Let's look at it in John 7. Verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe his dreams either. They didn't believe his words either. They didn't believe who he was either. See, I'm about dying with the hell going to church.
Right.
I'm sure they told me. I'm sure Wesley Pennington told me. I'm sure Mabel Moore, my Sunday school teacher, told me. But I missed it. I had ears and couldn't hear. I was dead.
Yep.
I knew that Jesus was a good man. I knew He was a prophet. I knew He was a priest. I knew He was a soon coming king. I knew He did miracles. But I did not know He was God. I did not know He was Jehovah God come down from heaven. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time's not yet come, but your time's always ready. The world hateth you, but it hateth me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. They hated him. Now verse 15. And a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. You know what we did last Saturday up here in Holly Hills, the Terra Estates? You know what we're doing? We were wandering around in the field, wondering if there's anybody interested. You know what we did about a month ago over at Fayetteville and Braxton County, around stuff? We were out wandering in the fields, wondering if anybody was interested at all in the Lord. And a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. He had the mind of the Father. He knew what the Father wanted, and his goal, his desires was the same as the Father, to find the brother. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brother. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Whether they be at Holly Hills, close to the church, or at Fayetteville, far from the church. He went after his brother, is what he did. 60 miles is what I found. 60 miles. Jacob needed to know. It was the duty of the coat as the overseer to go check on the brother. The submission was no hesitation. Here I am. Just like Isaiah said, here I am. Didn't matter about the difficulties. Didn't matter about the distance. Didn't matter about the dangers. Sister Cheryl just sang it. He reached way down. Right. It was a big distance. It was a big distance. It was a sacrifice to leave the comforts of home. But that's what the Lord did. Luke 19. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come into this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Philippians 2:5. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." I ought to have the will of the Father in my mind and be interested in that. He went to seek the brethren in steadfastness. He didn't find them at Shechem, but he kept looking. He didn't quit. He didn't go back home like I would have said, "Dad, well, they're not there." He was wandering in the field because he had the mind of the Father. He was stout-hearted. He went after his brethren. Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." From their sins. Let's go back to Genesis now, 37. I think we're on verse 18. "When they saw him afar off," they saw that coat. "Even before he came near unto them, they conspired." It was a conspiracy against him to slay him. Matthew 28. Matthew 28:11. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done." The chief priests might be like, they might compare to the seminary presidents. "And when they were assembled with the elders," they might be like the professors in the seminary. "And they'd taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, the preachers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept." And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. John 8:40. "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." And then chapter 11 in John, verse 53. We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. Verse 53, "Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death." What's happening to Joseph. Now back to Genesis 37. Let me just read 18 again if you don't mind. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspire against him. See, we just looked at the New Testament conspiracy. Some say he just swooned. They conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit." You know, like the abyss, like hell is a pit. "And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." The vilest of the persecutors, they mocked with their mouth who's going to be their Savior. They mocked the proclaimer of divine truth, the Word of God that brought them the revelation. They mocked the precepts of divine truth. They mocked his dreams. And they mocked the power of divine truth. They said, "We'll see what will become of his dreams. Wait and see. We'll see." I think we're going to quit right there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the revelation. Lord, help me to believe it and take it to heart, Lord. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.